Hello and welcome to this Ramadan edition of Things Unseen, the podcast for people of faith and those who are fascinated by the spiritual dimension to life. I'm Amir Suleiman. I'm a broadcaster, and like my fellow Muslims, I'm preparing myself for the holy month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a time for prayer, introspection and compassion, a time of fasting, one of the five pillars of Islam, and also of charitable giving. And this year, for many Muslims, achieving that sense of compassion and calm might be harder because for so many, events in Israel and Gaza have caused anger, upset, and even some fear. So how are people going to approach the fast this year? What is a spiritual response to the events in Israel and Gaza, and how can you find compassion even for people you might regard as enemies? To try and answer some of these questions, I'm joined today by some Muslims of different ages and backgrounds, all preparing for Ramadan. Faisal Mahmood volunteers for a Muslim community radio station, Salam Radio, in Peterborough, and is secretary for the Joint Mosques Council. Faisal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And Abdul Rakib Salman is a university student from Peterborough. He's studying psychology and moved here from Nigeria as a child. Asalaamu Alaikum, Abdul Rakib.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Anita Naya came to Islam in her late teens, having grown up in a mixed faith family, and is a social psychologist based in Peterborough. Anita, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Anita, how do you feel as you approach Ramadan this year?
I'm approaching Ramadan this year with some dread. I have a very heavy heart over what's happening in Gaza. I'm also entering it with some hope. I hope that within that month, the time that we get with God, with Allah, may give us some openings, may help all of our souls in the various states that they are. So that is my hope, is that extra encounter with Allah that you only get in the month of Ramadan will bring some guidance, at least.
And Abdul Rakib, how do you feel Ramadan could be different for you this time?
It's that difference. Knowing what's happening in Gaza and Israel, it will definitely be on people's mind, and it's going to be something for people to focus on. It's difficult, I think, from all the other years, because this has never... It's always been happening, but it hasn't been on this scale. And because it's now on this scale, it's on everyone's mind. But I think we definitely have to do it from a place of hope. It's a place of hope because Ramadan is a special month, and we know there are miracles within that month. So hopefully we want to see miracles in this Ramadan.
And Faisal, how do you think our reflection during Ramadan might help us to handle the daily news of events in Israel and Gaza and the West Bank?
I always bring it back that Ramadan is a time to actually not completely cut off what's going on. We've still got to do our work as Muslims in terms of upholding social justice and making sure those who are oppressed, their voices are heard. But the key thing is making sure our level of spirituality and our connection with Allah, God, our connection with the Quran, recitation of the Quran, the evening prayers, all of that's increased. And that helps us to kind of increase our spirituality, not switch off, but boost that spirituality side of things, which is normally neglected throughout the year.
It will be challenging, to say the least. Abdul Rakib, if I can come back to you, how has the situation in Israel and Gaza and obviously the West Bank, how has it affected you personally?
The amount of content I see, it's quite difficult. And I remember there was a session at the mosque in which they talked about how we should deal in terms of mentally with the news, the amount of news that we see. For me personally, even though I know I should probably take a step back, I can't also help myself but to, you know, look at the news. I feel like I'm obligated, if I can't do as much as I can physically, to at least know what's going on. And it's quite difficult finding out what's right and what's wrong. So I'm always trying to teach myself. I'm always trying to understand what's happening in Gaza. So personally for me, I'm always seeking out new information, whether that's being part of a protest, whether, for example, I'm part of some a session in university, for example, we were raising some funds for Gaza. You know, I want to do my best. You know, from what I've seen, from the news that I'm seeing constantly, it invigorates me to help in any sort of way, whether that's through those opportunities.
That's interesting what you said there, Abdul Rakib. And does that process that you speak of, does that help you to process the events in your mind and what's going on, that the gravitas of it?
It's important to learn what's going on. And I do think it helps ground me to know what's going on in the world. You know, most people, sometimes they choose not to look at that information. But me choosing to look at the situation, choose to read those news, I think it does help me understand the gravitas, the importance, the significance of what's been happening. So for me, it's a great way to contextualize the many years of history of this war, this ongoing problem.
Anita, having heard what Abdul Rakib had to say about his own personal experience of processing the events, has there been an experience for you that you can speak of that has been difficult, challenging, and how did you respond to that?
I mean, a few, and actually, you know, you've touched on some really important phenomena there in the way. I think the big one for me that I'm still dealing with is how we respond and what's the right way to respond. So we are all in a state of collective trauma because we are all taking this in from the headlines. I don't know about you, anyone else in this room. I have had nightmares as a result of what I've seen on the news. That's not unusual. That's how one of the ways we process. But people respond to trauma in different ways. You know, I don't mind sharing personally on this one. It's so big. It brings me into almost a sort of depressive feeling where, although I do a lot in social justice on this, actually, I haven't gone out and shouted about it on social media, but I am instead trying to engage in dialogue in a slow and long process. But other people will respond to it with wanting to push for that change now, posting on social media, going out and protesting. We all respond to trauma in different ways. And actually, we all need to, in order to move forward, all of those different ways are appreciated. And I guess the difficulty there is, I think sometimes we feel that the best way is to have it all over our social media feed, to make sure we're saying something. Some people are very good at finding the right words immediately. Others, maybe they want to talk to people in a more, you know, less public way, and that's also effective. And I think sometimes it can be difficult because often if you respond in one way and you don't see other people doing that, you can almost see them as not doing anything. And so I think there's been this little bit of a culture in the discourse of like, nobody's doing anything. And I think what maybe I would really like to see and trying to do in a way is actually say, look, let's all talk about this because we all respond in different ways that are equally helpful in the short and the long term. So that's been at a dialogue level, I find that difficult. And Brother Faisal also touched upon, you know, schools. And I think that schools are petrified of this subject. And it is a big subject and it's hard to talk about. But in dialogue, you can have that as your starting point. This is hard to talk about. And I would love to see schools talking a bit more about this and just acknowledging it's difficult. And we have people with different positions in the room. We're not going to agree with each other. We need to talk about it to process. We need to look at the emotions that we're feeling.
Yeah.
We need to acknowledge the trauma.
Faisal, that's an excellent point that Anita made there. Let's just elaborate on those conversations that we've had and will have, especially during Ramadan. How do you feel that you might manage those conversations during the month of Ramadan? How will Ramadan affect the way you will react to any conversation you have? Just what are your feelings around that?
Yeah, I think if you're asking me this question probably 20 years ago, I'd be giving a different answer where I'd be more active in protests, more active on social media, because as Sister Anita mentioned, that's a way of channeling your emotions. Mm-hmm. Whereas nowadays I'm more involved with having discussions with a local MP. We've got a working Islamophobia working group with the local council, police and NHS. So yesterday, actually, I was involved in a meeting with them and we were discussing this exact topic on how children are feeling in terms of when the crisis in Ukraine was happening and funds were being raised for that. And they feel that the same level of empathy isn't shown towards people in Gaza. So we need to manage young people and how they're perceiving their views are being heard, whether their views are being heard in school or they're not. So how do we manage that? So we had even head teachers from certain trusts on board, some who are working really well to manage that. whereas others are they're struggling, and it's all down to training. So, you know, those are the type of discussions we're having, and we were then talking about how we're going to continue this during Ramadan. So one of the ways we would continue these dialogues and engagements is we have these open iftars where all the mosques, actually, we all meet up at the main mosque in Peterborough, and we have various different organizations involved, and we just continue our discussions as we go on. But then we've got to remember, we've got these night prayers, we've got, you know, daily recitation of the Quran. So all of these things take priority over the rest. So like I said, it's just changing of priorities during this month.
Faisal, you mentioned that 20 years ago, you might be reacting very differently to how you are now. You might have even been out protesting. Mm-hmm. What's changed for you in those 20 years? Why the difference?
Yeah, this is my personal experience. Obviously, it doesn't apply to everybody, but I felt that protests don't achieve the results that I wanted to see from those. So I would expect if there's a million people protesting against something, that their views would make a difference within government or within policy or something. Whereas every time there's been a protest, I've not seen that. And I think protests, either they make you feel good as an attendee, or those who you're protesting for, so anyone who's oppressed around the world, or if there's injustices going on, it's good for them that they see that there's support for us. I mean, I have attended local protests to show support for those who are organizing. Do you see what I mean? So my intention has slightly changed. So I don't see that me being there is going to make a difference. Mm. But me being there is supporting others who, you know, see this as a way of making a change.
I mean, yeah, I didn't know whether I could, you know, mention. But perhaps because I have that youth now, I, you know, of course, what you mentioned, I can see why that might be so for you. But for me, I'm thinking, if we all think like that, then that's a problem. But Anita, as you quite rightfully mentioned, everybody will process that in different ways. Perhaps because I'm speaking from youth and from what I know of my friends. And as I mentioned, you know, I've been going out there doing something. I feel like maybe for the youth, there's a need for us to do something. Perhaps we can't keep quiet. We can't do what you're doing right now, Brother Faisal. And one of the things I saw on social media is just that there's a lot of youth contents, you know, creators going out there informing people about what's happening in Gaza and Israel. And I think for us youth, we need to be empowered. We need to do something. We just can't stand still. And I think, of course, this was quite similar to what happened in Ukraine. But this, especially with the context, it's been going on for many years. We feel this is a great injustice. You know, we might not have had a part in helping the Gazans in the past because we were younger. But now, when it's really exploded, we feel like we as youth, perhaps I'm generalizing, but definitely as myself and my friends, we feel a need to do something. Mm. And, you know, it's just a slight disagreement there. But of course, maybe that's the difference in age there.
Interesting. Thanks, Abdul Rakib. Anita, you know, it's very easy for us to have compassion for the people of Gaza and the West Bank. But what about having compassion for the Israeli victims of the 7th of October and the hostages? How do you manage your compassion when it comes to those that you regard as wrong or enemies or just too different to you?
That's a big question, a difficult one, and a very important one for each of us to look into within ourselves. So I'm going to tell a story to answer that question. When the hostages were first taken, I have a lot of Jewish friends in, you know, from my work background who have family in Israel, do not support the Netanyahu government, which is a very far-right government, and I felt some collective responsibility for what happened. I felt some shame, and I stopped talking to my friends. And I didn't realise that was what was happening until one of my friends, who actually works in Dialogue as well, he posted something to say, look, this is why, as a Jewish community, we all care about what's happening. We don't support Netanyahu's government, but we all know somebody, you know, there's 2 degrees difference between us and the people in Israel. And I thought, that's even closer than between us and the people in Gaza and West Bank who we're feeling some compassion with. And at that point, actually, the response hadn't happened yet. And I first thing I did was pick up the phone and talk with him and tell him what I'd done. And he said, look, I went through a similar process because things were heating up now and we know that response is coming at this point from Israel. And he said, and that's why I put out the post, actually, because I wanted to start a conversation. Now, he's somebody I've known for a very long time. He's been a real guide to me because we have very similar values, both religious people, not always working in religious contexts, really care about dialogue and getting along. And because of that relationship, we were able to have a very difficult conversation because we do hold different positions. And I was able to hear him and he was able to hear me. And I think the reason I told that story is because I think a really, really important thing for us to do in interrogating this question about compassion is how do we start to get there? Because until we have compassion, there is no solution. Until we can start with the values that we all share, we can't move the conversation along.
Could Ramadan be a catalyst towards this? Will this help us to find that compassion?
I can't help but think of the prophetic example. When you were both talking about protest or conversation, and actually the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had lots of modes that he used. You know, there was protest. There was also spiritual withdrawal, going to the cave when he needed to reflect, just be on his own with God. There was dialogue. There were trades. There was sort of influence, political influence, and moves that he made that allowed the change to happen, to sort of put pressure on in certain areas. You know, if you look back at the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was very sophisticated. You know, we all say he's the best of all humankind, and he was not surprisingly the best of negotiators, of diplomats, of politicians, peace be upon him. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time this year, you know, I usually go through the whole Quran in Ramadan. I think this year I'm going to spend a lot of time with the seerah and seeking guidance from that.
You mentioned the seerah. Just tell us what that is.
So the seerah is a collection of historical notes about the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, written by people at or around the time where he was alive.
Thank you for the clarification. Faisal, we've heard from Anita about compassion and anger. We've touched on that. How does your anger, if any, sit with the need for compassion? I mean, do you find it a challenge? Do you think it will be a challenge during this month of Ramadan?
Again, if you're asking me this question a few years ago, even 2-3 years ago, it would be a different answer, where I'm consuming a lot more social media videos that are being shared. Whereas in the last year and a half, I've minimized what I'm consuming on social media related to this, partly because you don't know how much of that is genuine. Same with, you know, you keep watching the news over and over. And I remember when this incident took place and watching the news every hour, it was the same story. And that riles you up. And I remember I was working from home at the time. I just had to switch it off because ultimately it's affecting my own mental health. It's not that I don't care for the people. I mean, I've got at least 12 Jewish friends who are close to me. Some of them work with me, some of them I know locally.
And have you had conversations with them about the events?
Some of them, yeah. So most of them, they know my views. We've had these conversations previously as well.
Has it affected your relationship in any way?
I don't think so. I was having lunch with one of them a few days ago. So for most of us, you know, life continues as normal because we know each other so well. So we discuss these issues, but they don't affect our relationships.
And Abdul Rakib, have you got any experience of speaking to people of the Jewish faith or people of any faith that might have an opinion that differs to yours and how that makes you feel? Does it make you feel angry? And just also talk about the whole compassion side as well in terms of the events of the 7th of October. Do you find it a challenge? If so, why?
To answer your first question, I haven't had any experience speaking to anyone of the Jewish faith. When I was in university, there was an event, you know, we were trying to raise funds for those in Gaza. It was charity week. It was around about November, December time. So it was a month or two. There was still a lot of uncertainty. And I was speaking to, there were two individuals. A friend of mine was speaking to one individual and I was speaking to the other individual. And from the conversation, she mentioned she didn't want to be too hasty to judge in a sense. I, at the time, from my perspective, I was feeling angry and I was like, surely everybody else would be feeling that anger. You know, I generalize. But, you know, she presented a new limelight, which was the evidence, because as I said, it's still quite fresh. The evidence then perhaps wasn't sufficient enough. There isn't anything clear on the ground yet. So at the end of that, I wouldn't say a debate, some people might call it a debate, but at the end of that conversation, she mentioned how there isn't enough evidence, and that's why she doesn't want to pick a side per se, but she does know there's a lot of hurt, there's been a lot of pain on both sides. So that was quite nice for me to get that point of view, because as I said, I was angry at the time, and I think I am still angry now. And I think even whether it's me or someone else, we definitely think we do have a right to that anger. However, which is where Ramadan comes in, Ramadan is a month of compassion. It's a month of mercy. You know, the miracles, the blessings that we've got from Ramadan in the seerah, in just our life that we've seen in general, it truly is a great blessing. So it would be a shame to go into Ramadan with an angry heart, with a heavy heart. So yes, I am angry. I'm trying to let go of that anger, especially during this time of Ramadan. And I hope, you know, through spiritual activities such as the night prayers, fasting, iftars, breaking with others, I'm hoping to let go of that anger little by little. But I think it might not be, I might not be able to fully get rid of it.
So it seems to me, the way you've described how you're going to be entering this month of Ramadan, that it will be a time of healing for you. Hopefully, you might find some healing from that anger towards compassion. How do you feel these horrific events could bring us all closer to God?
I mean, it's happened in the past. You know, there's always been, we see in the Quran, people, you know, a nation has been destroyed. And, you know, there's that time when prophets are sent, for example. Though there will be no prophets sent now, but we've seen this horrific event that's happening. We know there's a very, you know, astute verse I'm thinking of right now that is quite pertinent now, which is after every difficulty, there is ease. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a lot of difficulty right now on the ground, but we know, because as Muslim, we trust in Allah, we trust in God, that He is the best of planners as well. He's, you know, the best disposer of our affairs. So we know, though this might be happening right now, this is only temporary, and we hope and we believe, especially now that Ramadan's coming, where our spirituality will be boosted. We hope and we ask, you know, God, that hopefully we can get ease from the situation that is currently on the ground. So hopefully, and I do believe that during this month, we'll see much more compassion. And I'm, as you mentioned, I'm hoping to heal from the anger, trying to let go of it little by little.
Thank you, Abdul Rakib. I think this conversation is certainly helping me towards the idea of healing through the month of Ramadan when things get amplified. Mm. Anita, what from this discussion we've had today, what would you say is your main takeaway from this conversation?
A lot. But I think I like that we've had the representation in the room as well from all the different positions that people hold. I think this discussion often becomes binary. It often becomes Muslim against Jew, which it's not. It often becomes active against inactive, which it's not. I think with what's happening now, we all have our role to play. We all have a shared aim towards peace. We all have our different ways we can bring that about. And I sincerely hope that the month of Ramadan is a month, you know, it is the month of revelation. And I hope it is a month of revelation to all of us about how we can bring that to bear in the short term and the long term.
Thank you, Anita. And Faisal, same question to you. What have you taken away from this discussion, which ordinarily probably wouldn't have happened?
Yeah, I mean, just listening to different viewpoints, I'm just thinking about what the Rakib just mentioned. You know, Islam's a complete way of life. That's the main understanding for majority of Muslims, you know, whether it's our spiritual life, how we conduct ourselves economically, socially, and how do we spend our money, how we earn it, what things are inside our control, what things are outside of our control. So we believe in this concept of free will. We've got freedom to do what we like, what we don't like. And then there's certain things that are outside of our control. So where we don't have influence, where we don't have control, that's what we say is by the will of God. Hmm. So things that we can't control, things that we can't make a change with directly, for me personally, that concept just helps me get through life. So rather than worrying about, you know, oh, this is happening or that's happening or I can't do this, what can I do? Can I make a difference by engaging with mosques? Can I make a difference by engaging with politicians, with schools? So I'd rather be doing something where I can make a difference, and that helps me through life and through incidents such as this. And Ramadan itself is a time to focus on spirituality, time to switch off from the daily grind of work. You know, although we continue working, but we're spending more time on the spiritual side. So that's what really helps me.
Abdul Hakim, what's your takeaway from today's discussion? Do you feel there's any value you've had from this?
I definitely think so. And I'm going to have to reference you quite a lot, Anita. I think quite right. It's about that dialogue, the need for dialogue. I've had conversations with friends, I've had conversations with others, but as we mentioned, to process these horrific things that's happening, we need to talk it out. And it's strange, you know, even in psychology, there's talk in therapy, you know, but you don't know how important and you don't know how useful talking is until you go at it. And then after the session, you feel, oh, you know, I've gotten a load off my chest, you know. So I definitely think there's been value here discussing these topics. And I'm hoping, you know, as Brother Faisal mentioned, that this month will be that month of compassion, you know, that month of trying to heal, as Zebra also mentioned. So I definitely think there's been value here, and I really do appreciate being part of this.
Observing Ramadan is a deeply personal and spiritual practice, and the situation in Gaza, the West Bank and Israel gives it additional layers of meaning and significance for me. Because for me, it's about trying to feel compassion and sadness over anger and hatred. Sadness over the lives lost and compassion for everyone trying to survive. Ramadan is also a time when you have to be grateful and count your blessings. And for so many of us, that's never been more poignant. Thank you to Abdul Rakib Salman, Anita Nayar and Faisal Mahmood for joining me. I'm Amir Suleiman, and you've been listening to the Ramadan edition of Things Unseen, the podcast brought to you by CTVC.
And you can hear this program again and find other editions of Things Unseen at www.thingsunseen.co.uk.